We are ambassadors. We're representatives that are sent out into the world to tell the world that we all need to be reconciled to God. This is not a command. God is not telling us, you got to do this. But it's an invitation. I talked last week about how that God is issuing an invitation that we have to RSVP. We have to respond to that invitation. And that's carrying over today into the theme of reconciliation. But today we are God's host and hostesses to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what Christianity is all about. We're to prepare ourselves to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Everybody wants to go, but they have to be invited. So that's what this study of the Word today is all about, is that special invitation of Jesus tugging at our hearts and telling us to accept me, to be born again. In Luke chapter 15, we read the story about the prodigal son. We are the prodigal sons and daughters today. And it's our responsibility to invite all of our friends that we met down at the hog trough to come to the Father's house. You remember how the prodigal son was down there and the only job he could get was out slopping the hogs? And he was in such desperate condition until he was ready to start eating swill that he was feeding the hogs. We were down at that hog trough, every one of us at one point in our life. And we had friends there, supposedly. But the invitation that God is giving us is that when we become reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we need to go back and talk to those people, those friends that we had down at the hog trough, and tell them that, come on up to the Father's house. He's got a feast prepared. He's got water that will quench your thirst for eternity. Okay, we're talking about reconciliation, being reconciled. But what does that really mean to us today? According to Webster's Dictionary, it means to restore to fellowship, to restore harmony. So to be reconciled to God is to have our friendship with God restored. To have our relationship with God made right. To have our peace and our harmony with God restored. You think back to the time when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Boy, you could step over the clouds. You were excited. Everything was just great. It was fantastic. But the first time you got back into the real world and you saw a real honest goodness problem, it just almost knocked your props out from under you. Well, I thought God was supposed to take care of me. I thought I wasn't supposed to have any problems once I accepted Him as my personal Savior. You have only begun to have problems when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. But that's where faith comes into the picture. When we are truly reconciled to Jesus Christ through that blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary, He will be there with us when we have these problems. Every one of us have situations in our life that in the natural we cannot handle. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can handle all things. Amen. According to His will and His purpose for our life. Why is all this so important? We have no future, folks, without forgiveness. That's why it's important. That's why we need to be reconciled to God and to one another. Because without this forgiveness, without this reconciliation, we have no future, much less the hope of eternal salvation. Without that kind of forgiveness, we can't be reconciled to God. If we have something against our brother or sister, we need to go to them and talk to them about it. And then ask God to forgive us. God has called us to reconciliation, to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. As a result of that love and that reconciliation, we are to be reconciled to each other. If you're truly reconciled, you will no longer see others from the world's point of view. But you will see them through the heart and the mind and the eyes of Jesus Christ. That's my brother. That's my sister in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what's so important. There are three essential elements to the work of reconciliation. We must understand accurately what has gone wrong among the people. What has gone wrong between us and God and His creation. If we don't understand the evil and the trouble in the world, then we cannot have a genuine, for real reconciliation. Because you won't know what you're forgiving. You won't know what you're asking forgiveness for. You're just out there sounding off. And it doesn't mean anything. It's like being an ambassador for our country. We must know what's going on in both countries. And it's the same way with us today as Christians. In our case, we have to know what's going on in the natural realm and what's going on in the spiritual realm of our lives and of our existence. Our heaven and earth is a battlefield. And we have to know that heaven wins in order for us to be effective. Number two, we must love others and work to benefit them rather than to judge them. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, if we condemn the people in our workplaces or withdraw from the daily places of life and work, we're regarding people and work from the human point of view. If we love the people we work among and we try to improve our workplace and services, then and only then can we become the agents of Christ's reconciliation. If people know that you're judging them, they won't come to your party. If you go back down there to that hog trough and you meet these people and you say, we're having a party up at my father's house, then you kind of turn your nose up and you don't want to talk to them. They will sense that, and you think they're going to want to come to the father's house if you're going to turn your nose up at them? And finally, being seeds of God's creation, we need to be in a position to bring Christ's power to the people, to the organizations, to the places, and the things of the world, so that they too can become members of God's new creation. Can you imagine if a friend of yours that does not attend church became seriously ill, and you went to visit them, and they know that you're supposed to be a Christian, but you go to visit, you don't offer to pray with that person, and you leave, you have missed a chance to sow seed, because through that prayer, through that person's minute faith, they could have been healed or they could have been saved. And I firmly believe that when we pass up an opportunity to sow those seeds of kindness and reconciliation, that we will be held responsible for not doing what God has called us as Christians to do. As we prepare our hearts today to partake of Holy Communion, we need to be keenly aware of the need for reconciliation. Reconcile to God and to others. When there's true reconciliation, we can enjoy true fellowship with the body of Christ. Take another look at this prodigal son. The father prepared a feast, but the older son, who had stayed there and had committed himself to helping his father, was not exactly happy about this meal. He complained and he bellyached because, "Now, Daddy, I have been here with you this whole time. I didn't take my part of the inheritance and squander it. And you've never given me a party. You've never killed the fatted calf for me. But here's this bum brother of mine that took everything and threw it away and wound up eating in the pen with the hogs. And he comes home and you're going to kill the fatted calf and throw a party and put a ring on his hand? And you expect me, Daddy, to be civil?" Don't that sound just like some of our families? Every one of us at one time or another has had some kind of family squabble that so much looks like the situation with the prodigal son. We can mess ourselves up in a heartbeat when we do not allow ourselves to be reconciled to Christ. You know, sitting down at the table with other people is one of the most intimate things that we can do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, tells us about 3,000 people that had accepted Christ as their Savior on the same day. They then devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Fellowship is characterized by what? By unity. It is possible for us to eat together with others and people that we don't really know or actually like too well. We can sit down long enough to eat, as long as we don't have to enter into a conversation with them. But you know, I've not seen anybody bite since I was a child. So whoever you're sitting next to is not going to bite you. And you may learn something from each other. We can sit down and we can eat with them. We can manage to stay disconnected and separate from them if we really want to. We have gotten really good at pretending about our feelings and our beliefs. Or have we? I don't think that it's easy to sit down with people that we have disagreed with or choose to dislike. It feels really uncomfortable and awkward. And there's a lot of tension. That's why it's so important that we be reconciled to one another. Reconciliation will remove those barriers of dislike and disdain. We have spoken of two meals this morning, two meals that are faith-based in nature. One, Jesus had with his disciples before giving himself up for the crucifixion. And the other one is the new Christians began to celebrate together in the first church in Corinth. These people were called on to embrace other people. They didn't step out of their comfort zone while rethinking what they meant to follow Christ. What they had to rethink was reconciliation. Rethink how that they felt about other people and rethink their methods for fellowship. It's difficult for us to reconcile ourselves. And that's why we have an advocate with Jesus Christ. Without the salvation that Jesus Christ bought on Calvary, without His love, without a closer walk with Him, we cannot, under any circumstances, be reconciled. It just doesn't happen. You have to have that relationship with Christ. Do you know Him today? Do you know who this Jesus is? Who will take away that heavy load of burdens that you've been carrying all by yourself? The one who understands and cares about you and about your disappointments and about your heartaches. The one that who sees every time you cry, every tear you shed. Jesus Christ knows all about it. Jesus is the only one who loves you that much. Do you know my Jesus today?